y'all are joining us halfway through this conversation, but I was like, hit record, Lauren, because we're gonna make this official. Comixology sucks. Amazon sucks. Marvel, DC, they all suck. Because why do you? No, I'm not. I'm starting this year angry, and we're just gonna go with it.
That's all a right? tough way to start.
Welcome to 2024.
Though.
I'm pissed. My whole thing is, why do I need 7 different apps to buy a fucking comic book? That is my
amen. Question.
Because it used to be I could just buy it direct from Marvel. The Marvel app or the Image app or whatever. Then they decided to get rid of all that and it's all going to go through Comixology. Then it's all going to go through Amazon and go through Comixology. No, it's like I literally had such a hard time buying Uncanny Spider-Man. I almost fucking gave up. I was like, honestly, if it wasn't for the podcast, I probably would have. Because I was like, I can't get this goddamn comic book to come onto my phone. Like, what? So yes, I'm just angry. Hi, welcome to the pod. My name is Lisa. I'm angry.
I think I'm going to have to be the more positive view today, which is fine because I'm trying to be less angry at everything. I've been angry for months now straight, and it's not healthy, guys. It's not healthy for your body. So you got to be angry. If you need to be angry, be angry, but then you got to get yourself out of it. So that's what we're going to do here today. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Simply Amazing. You are all simply amazing, just like Kurt Wagner himself, our Nightcrawler, is. I am Lauren, your friendly neighborhood bi. And Lisa, the OG Nocturne here, is going to hopefully pretend a little bit that she's living a world where Nocturne is back. Thank you, everyone.
Oh my God. I need my girl back. I actually tweeted to Kieran Gillen and everybody out there, you do the same thing. Ask him, what does Canticle for Talia mean? Make him answer us.
Make him answer.
I am up to here with being trolled by Marvel about my girl and all the things around her, because it just feels like they keep on, like, they're edging me. They keep on getting me real close to fucking Nocturne. All right, let's actually get into it.
Anger and edging at the start of the new year. This is wild, Lisa. This is wild.
Welcome to 2024, guys. The year that is going to be so much better than 2023, because it has Woo! To be. Because it fucking has to be. Otherwise, it's like, I mean, yeah, it just has to be. So, we're gonna kick it off this year, 2024, by talking about the very final final issue of Uncanny Spider-Man, where a boy spiders his man.
Oh, well, where's Logan? He's not in this issue. What the fuck? How can he spider his man if his man's not there?
Oh, he's got lots of men. He's got lots of guys.
That's fair.
If there is any character that has hoes in different area codes, it is Kurt Wagner.
Amen. I love that. I absolutely love that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Logan also definitely has hoes in different area codes, but like Kurt 100, like Kurt definitely is the kind of guy who like shows up in Iceland and he's like, no, I know somebody.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, his mutant power alone, and then just he's like, oh yeah, one time I did this one thing with this one person. We haven't talked in 10 years, but there's still some feelings. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and, like, and what do you think that one thing he did with that one person was?
We all know. We all know.
Okay, so we'll talk about Uncanny Spider-Man. I don't really want to go through it page for page. It's everything we kind of expected it to be, which was, you know, surprise, surprise, they didn't actually capture Kurt. They captured Mystique with all her orifices full of guns. I mean, listen.
Orifices full of guns. I feel like that's like my new favorite run-on joke with Mystique. And just every crevice of her body, she's got a weapon, a gun, a something.
Oh my God. If there's not a fic about this, someone write it. Because like, someone had sex with Mystique once and cut themselves on something. I guarantee it. Like, I'm like, there's like, the bitch is like, going down on somebody and suddenly a razor comes out. She's like, oh fuck, I forgot that was there.
Listen, I also think that at some point in her long life that we still don't know how old she is, at some point she was like engaging in sexual relationship with someone. You're welcome for that wording, by the way. And they probably thought they were gonna get something very vanilla, as it'd be very chill, like very pretty straightforward, and out of nowhere she just pulls out like 20 different sex toys that probably weren't even invented yet at the time.
Right? Or like she's hooking up with somebody and it wasn't expected, and suddenly she's having to like unload every orifice of guns. And while they're dead, just watching this person unload guns, they're just like, mean, I'm already hearing naked. I guess.
Listen, that was the first time her and Destiny slept together. She won't let anyone else unload her. Okay, can we be real?
That's true. Oh my God, Mystique must weigh so much. Just because of all
the things and all her organs. She's the OG Megan Thee Stallion. Thick.
Oh, thick as fuck. And the thing is, though, she's thick because she's full of guns. Like, she's not thick because she's...
Exactly. Full of guns. Y'all better watch out.
I'm just saying, her curves don't come from her DNA. Her curves come from her, like, arsenal. That's where her curves come from.
I think that's hot. Lisa, somebody write this fanfic and send it my way, please.
I think
I'll leave a line. I will read it on an episode of the show if somebody writes that fanfic and sends it to us. Even I don't care how good or bad or otherwise it is, I will read it live on the air and enjoy it. Thank you.
I just realized my microphone is nowhere near my mouth, so apologies to everybody who had to listen to that bullshit. I say fuck Uncanny Spider-Man. Let's just talk about Mystique's orifices.
I think we should do that. I think the next live we should do should just be Kurt and family trivia and talking about Mystique's orifices and deciding which orifice carries which things.
Well, we know one thing for certain. There's one thing that never came out of Mystique's orifices, and that is Nightcrawler. So
that was good. That was good, Lisa. I appreciate
it. I'm just
that.
Saying it's we know now for certain that he never came out of a single orifice that woman ever had. So all right, let's move on because I'm sure everybody's tired. At this point, it's not even a matter of the conversation so much as it's just the word orifice. I'm sure everybody's just fucking tired of it. So, surprise, surprise, it's not actually Nightcrawler. It is Mystique. And Nightcrawler is like hiding as, I don't know, one of these like stormtrooper looking fuckers. This little glove they made for him to make him look like he had five fingers, just give the man a mitten. Just give him a mitten.
I mean, I'm having war flashbacks to when he used the image inducer. It's hurting my soul. All right, guys.
I'm just saying, like, here's what we need. And I hate to, like, bring Batman Returns up so many times, I feel like, in this podcast. But, like, if you're going to have a costume moment like that, we need to have a scene like Catwoman making the costume. I want to see him sewing these fucking fingers onto this little mitten. That's what I want to see.
Listen, if you're going to bring a Batman on Nightcrawler podcast, I think it's only fair that I bring up Supergirl. You're welcome. Okay.
First of all, Nightcrawler is canonically a Batman fan, so we can talk about Batman on here.
That's stupid. Batman gets a pass on fucking everything. Anyways, that's a whole other topic. Listen, I'm okay. Just saying this issue, okay, was very fun with Kurt and Silver Sable and the Mystique, like, totally, like, calling Sable hot the entire time they fight. Like, she really just can't control herself, but honestly, can I blame her? Absolutely not. And I'm just saying this would also be a fun fight to watch if it was Mystique, Kurt, and Supergirl. I would be okay with it.
Moving on.
Okay. Lisa's gonna be like, don't say Supergirl to me. No one ever say it.
No, listen, if I can bring up Batman, you can bring up Supergirl. That's fine. I'll just yell at you every single time.
Super Bat. Simply Super Bat Amazing. That's the new pod, apparently.
I thought 2024 was gonna be good.
Listen, we're recording this before 2024. I gotta get all the bullshit out.
That's true. So there's definitely moments where, first of all, we do get, like, I just need to go back to the orifices for a second.
Because, like, Lisa!
I just have to for a second, because, like, Cy Spurrier, like, he, God love him. I mean, he banged us over the head with some of this foreshadowing, because it's just like, yeah. So, but whatever. She's got her orifices full of guns. She's pulling them out. She's shooting people. And, you know, the whole time she's, you know, hitting on Silver Sable.
Listen, multitasking. It's what we do. It's what we all do.
Yeah. And, like, Silver Sable and Kurt seem like, okay, I thought they were just fuck buddies, but, like, there's definite, like, she's seeming way more, like, coupley with him than I was expecting here. And, you know, he's like, this is my mother, blah, blah, blah. Like, here, you know, meet my parents. And yeah, I mean, Mystique definitely has a bit of dad in her, the way that she talks to him, but, you know.
Listen, that's the best part about Mystique as a parent. She's every part of the parent. I think she's definitely more of a stereotypical dad based on behavior and such. But, like, she's mom and dad. And I love how that confuses a lot of people's brains. And the rest of us are like, it makes sense. Who cares?
Okay. I wish to, this is one of those situations where it's like, you talk about like the best part about Mystique being a parent. And I'm just like, I would love to see a panel of all her children talking about the best things about her being a parent. Cause I guarantee it's crickets.
That's just family therapy though. That's just the therapist just being like, okay, so I know she's a pain in the ass. I know she kidnapped you. She did this, she did that. But listen, there's gotta be something good. Just give me one good thing that we can find common ground about Mystique as your parent. And they all just look at each other. But listen, and that is, Kurt would be the one to find one good thing. No one else.
Yes, but Kurt. He would find. Do you know what the one good thing he'd find? You got rid of me.
No, but see, that's the thing. They've completely undone that attitude now, because in this issue as well, he's all like, what's going on, Mystique? Now you're my parent. And so is Destiny. And Mystique's like, I'm going to go find your other mother and all this stuff. So like, there seems to just be this like new understanding. And that's one thing I actually want to talk about with you, is there's this new dynamic that's been created with this new origin. I mean, it's new to canon. It's not new to us. So I'm interested to hear what you think about that, because I think there's going to be a lot less, or at least currently, there's a lot less attitude like that coming from Kurt. Like, oh, you've been paying the ass all these years, and oh, you hid this from me. No, he's just like, hey, I love you, mom. Great. You're my mom. Okay, you're still fucking crazy, but go find my other mom. And by the way, Silver Sable, don't worry about her. She flirts with you. She's just a psychopath. It's okay. Like, there's a new level of acceptance almost, I think.
Well, I would agree with you there, but there's also like, I'm going to echo what a lot of people said about X-Men Origins Blue, which is not what I necessarily agreed about that issue, but just in general, like, we need a little bit more of Kurt unpacking this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, and here's the thing. This is the unfortunate thing about these big sweeping comic book situations. It's the same like when you're president and you throw down an executive decision. It only takes the next person to come and undo everything. So, right. You know, like, granted, for a lot of us, this whole Mystique Destiny as Kurt's parents thing is not new. It's something that we've kind of accepted in canon, or kind of had in our own canon for, you know, decades, because it's what was the initial intention. But like, you have to consider, this is still like a brand new revelation that has just happened and can so easily be unwritten by the next person. Now, granted, I do not see the next person coming and unwriting it and it happening well and being received well, because you just can't fuck with someone's a character's backstory this many times. Like, let it rest. Just grant, like, there are certain characters I think that make us want more backstory because of what they are, and Kurt's one of them. Like, I could be biased because I'm a fan of Nightcrawler, but I find that I think most of us would be way more interested in the backstory of this guy who grew up his entire life blue in a sea of, you know, normal people, then, you know, the story of, you know, like, what's Kitty Pryde's background? I mean, like, let's get real. Kitty Pryde's background until she became a mutant was being a kid. She has the exact same background as the rest of us. So it's like that backstory, I think more people are interested in this backstory that is so foreign to those of us, you know, around. And most of the X-Men have pretty mundane backstories until they become mutants, until, you know, some random writer jumps on and decides to make them half Shi'ar or some bullshit. But yeah, like, but the thing is like, we got to let it settle now. You got to just like, let it be. I'm really curious. I'm excited to see what they do with Destiny, where she comes from with it. You know, how they deal with that whole situation. What does Destiny know? Like, what does she still know? You know, this woman, like, it's not like you can sneak up on Destiny, like, you know, but at the same time, what part of what Charles did to her is going to like make it impossible for her to see this coming? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about them undoing it, because a big decision like this, which, let's be fair, this rerun origin, this isn't just a writer's choice. This was a huge decision that editorial was heavily involved in after decades. Like, again, Cy Spurrier should not be credited for doing this. I mean, he wrote it. Like, he should be credited for writing it and actually making it happen on paper, which is great, but this was meant to be done decades ago by Claremont, and editorial denied it left and right, up, down, sideways, backwards, wherever you think of, they got rid of it. And so this only happened because of editorial. So I don't see this being undone, because this was an editorial decision to allow this origin to finally be done and in the way that was handled. Right. So I think too, like, I'm not all that to say, I'm not expecting this to be undone by the next writer. You can't undo this origin. There might be different details you can add or tweak to this new origin over time. But again, I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of it in comics where two, technically, at least two presenting as women at some point, Mystique being that gray card area, being the mother, the biological mother of a child, even in comics, which is crazy because comics are batshit crazy. Or it's at least the first main character, like major character like Kurt being the product of it. And so it's, I don't see it being undone, but I think it'll be, it will be added on over time. And I'm with you. Like, we just got to wait to see how it unfolds. So I am interested to see how other writers approach Kurt's mindset to it all, right? Because I think you're completely right. And I think that can only happen if Marvel gets Spurrier done with Kurt. Let him end here. Great. He did a great thing with Origins. He reset it. Let's get him to other things. Let him go. Let someone else come in and write Kurt. Please, for the love of God.
Okay, so I'm going to be real honest. Like, I really haven't been following solicits. Like, what is going to happen with Kurt in 2024? Like, what books are he, is he, do we know? What book is he going to be in?
Nothing. I was at a shop yesterday, actually, and I was looking at the little preview books they had for Marvel and DC, and the Marvel one, I don't see anything. They're just doing the Fall of X, Rise of X event, it looks like, and I'm also not going to be picking that up until I am told there's a reason I should, because I'm like, here we go again.
Okay, so can we all just like let him stay with Spider-Man then? Because clearly the X-Office has no plans for him. So like, just let him be with Spider-Man. Let him be a Spider-Man. Just this like, again, it just gives me it gives me all the same feelings I had with the Draco, in that we had this thing happen, and granted, the Draco was not something we loved, but we had this massively enormous thing happen with our character that we love that changed everything. And then it was like, okay, scratch all that. Now let's talk about Scott Summers. And it's just like, okay, but like, can we at least have time to unpack with our guy the shit that's happening around him? Like, here's the fucking crazy thing. So for those of us in the normal, in the real world, right here in, you know, whatever Earth number this is, for those of us here in the real world, it has been 20 years between the Draco and now, right? But like, in X-Men world, it's only been like a handful of years, maybe 5 years, maybe a couple, who knows? I mean, because that sliding time scale. So think about this fucking life this poor kid has had, this poor guy has had, where it's like he's had to find out he's had like five different fathers in like as many years. I just want anything. I want any kind of story unpacking it. Listen, if you're writing fanfic about it, send it to me because I want to read it, because I'm tired of waiting for, this is the one thing I love about fandom, is we don't have to wait for Marvel to do shit for us. We don't have to wait for them to do anything. We can do it ourselves. And granted, I could go write something too, but let me tell you, I have no fucking ambition or motivation to do anything right now. And yeah, so, but if you're writing anything, I'd love to read it. So send it on our way. But yeah, it would just be nice. Like, I'm just so tired of, I always feel like with his character, it feels like writers don't know what the fuck to, like, it feels like very specific writers can really figure out what to do with him. And all the other writers use him as like the mascot of the X-Men. It's like, there he is. There's Nightcrawler. He's over there. He's over there. He's in the corner. Hey, Kurt. Yeah, no, we'll let you know when we need you. Bye. All right. It's just, I want more. I'm just so tired of this. And, you know, you would think that after such a monumental moment in his story, there would be more story to tell, but it just feels like it's just like, bam, moving on. So,
I mean, I completely agree with that. But again, I don't blame it on the writer, because solely, at least on the writer, because here's, or at this point, I don't blame on Spurrier, even though I could blame him, but I'm not going to, because in my head, logically, Kurt has been sidelined this entire Krakoan era. And I think, and to my knowledge, that's why a lot of Kurt fans have actually hated this Krakoan era, because they haven't liked how Kurt's been treated. He's just doing his weird shit. He was also mischaracterized for a long time with Way of X and especially Legion of X. And yeah, I agree. But I think it's not just writers that are using him as mascot. It's the overall X office and Marvel editorial that uses Kurt when they like to, how they want to, and that's it. They don't actually treat him as, oh my God, he's essential. And people want to know more about his backstory all the time, like Wolverine, like Cyclops. Even Storm is getting that now, which I'm grateful Storm's getting it. Do not get me wrong. This is not a diss at Storm. But it's also like, but Kurt is also up there. He is also in line with them. In fact, he was super popular around the same time as those characters became as popular as they were, minus maybe Scott. Of course, he came beforehand. But like, why is he constantly being sidelined? And this pattern, to me, it speaks to editorial and the overall X office not caring, because again, they've had so many different writers. They had Kieran Gillen write Fantastic and Marvel X-Men 8 issue with Kerr that was phenomenal. It was praised both critically and by us as fans, and then nothing else followed that. I don't think that's because Kieran Gillen didn't want to write more Kerr. I think it's because they have other plans and Kurt isn't at the top of their plan, and I have a problem with that. So X office editorial, can you please give a shit about Kurt more than just, hey, here's a little thing for him. Have fun.
I mean, just get, like, give him an unlimited series that's like online only. I don't give a shit. I don't need to buy it. I don't need to buy the main issue. Like, give me something. I think the one thing that we're kind of like, so this is the thing I've learned having worked in a creative field for a very long time, but on the business side of it. And this is the unfortunate thing that we always have to consider when we talk about this stuff. And it's like, you know, when we talk about these characters and how much we love them and what we want to see from them, we're talking from a place of like, you know, we have this connection like this with these characters for whatever reason. Whereas when Marvel is deciding what they're going to publish, they're not looking at that first. They're going to look at numbers. Because the fact of the matter is as much as people complain about Wolverine, this is the thing that drives me crazy about the comic book fandom in general, is like, if you hate it, you have to stop buying it. Because if you stop buying it, they will stop making it. But if you keep buying it, even if you're angry about it, they're going to keep making it. Like, it's just, and I think this is one of those things that we've seen a lot, especially in the past, like maybe couple years or so, is that there are several ways to sell something. You can sell something based on it being really good and people love it, or you can sell something based on it being terrible and everyone hates it. And really, when it comes down to it, that dollar, whether that person gave that dollar because they loved it or hated it, doesn't fucking matter, because they gave that dollar. And the dollar is the only thing that matters. So I've seen this in my own company I work for. You know, I've seen like art created for the sake of, less for the sake of the artist wanting to create something, and more because, you know, they create something because they know the people on the other side are going to buy what they create. If they create X, they might want to create Y, but it's X that sells, so that's what they focus on. And it's unfortunate, but that's kind of just the way it is. I mean, money is what makes the world go round. And again, that's why I like put the focus on fandom so much, is, you know, nobody's paying us to do anything. No one's, listen, if you want to pay me to do something, I'll say whatever you want, but you ain't paying me yet. So,
yeah, and I think that whole thing is very true. And I think that speaks to how Spurrier's been on these books for so long, because a lot of people have been mad at what these Kurt books that he's been writing. However, he has other stories outside of the stories he's written about Kurt are very well praised, which is great. And also, these Kurt books are still selling, no matter how mad we are, right? People are still buying them. So that's the thing, too, that's interesting to me on the editorial side, though, is that these books clearly are selling enough to continue to make multiple series with Kurt leading them, which is cool for Kurt. So Kurt sells. The issue, though, is that they can't consistently figure that out. Like, it's like Marvel hasn't completely understood yet. If you put Kurt in a book and he's headlining it, it's going to sell. Even if it's not as big as Wolverine, it will sell no matter what. They still haven't understood that. They've understood enough to continue the series they were doing within Krakoa, but now that they've wrapped this up with Uncanny Spider-Man and getting to the ending of the story, where afterwards he's kind of just staying there with Silver Sable on the rooftop, and it's just like, we'll see where it goes from here. I don't know where they're going at all after this series, which isn't the worst thing on the planet, but sucks, like you said, as somebody who's like, okay, where am I going to see Kurt next? Is he going to be in the X books next? Is he going to be continuing in a Spider book? Like, what's he doing? I have literally no idea what my man's is doing.
So you know what the X-Men have that is, I feel it can be a problem more than it is anything else, is, so let's use like the Fantastic Four as a great analogy, right? Fantastic Four is four characters. You can introduce new characters to the Fantastic Four, but it's not going to be the same. And it's like, you're always going to have to go back to those four characters. You know what I mean? Right. 'Cause that's who they are. Avengers is kind of similar. You can introduce new characters into the Avengers a lot easier than the Fantastic Four, just by you know, who they are. But the difference is with the Avengers is typically when they introduce new characters to the Avengers, it's like characters that are coming from somewhere. X-Men, because of the nature of it, it's just like they can introduce new characters left and right anytime they want, because anybody can become a mutant at adolescence immediately. So it's just like, And I think that that was the point in the beginning, especially with like the New Mutants. Like it was in the very beginning with X-Men, it was like these generations of characters would come in, which would make a lot of sense because you had the first generation, then you had the giant size generation, then you had the New Mutants. So it was an idea because the idea of X-Men at that time, it was a school. So it made sense that there would be a new class coming. But that's not it anymore. It's not a school anymore. And I think the problem that happens is you have these writers who will introduce these new characters, or they'll take a character that's not been used a lot and then bring it to the forefront and put their own spin on it. And here's, let's be real. It is a lot easier as a writer to introduce a new character or take some random character that's never been used, barely been used, and give them a backstory and write for them than it is to take a character with 50 plus years of established canon and then try and fit your narrative around that character. Because let's be real. Like if someone wants to write a story about Forget-Me-Not, I mean, it can be literally anything. There's not going to be a single fan that's going to be like, that's not Forget-Me-Not. However, when you take Nightcrawler or you take any of these characters who have so much canon, there's a lot of baggage that comes along with it. But I think that that's what I don't love about X-Men is like this, like you can introduce new characters all the time and you end up in a place like now where there are all these characters that are just sidelined for the sake of new characters or this or that or whatever. But again, I mean, I'm sitting here as a freaking Nocturne fan. I really have no space to speak about that shit. So bring back Exiles. You know what, Marvel? Bring back Exiles.
But like real Exiles. They did the, yeah, I was going to say, they did Sabretooth in Exiles.
No, but that was bullshit Exiles. That wasn't they used the name, but it wasn't Exiles.
Yeah, it wasn't them. Yeah, I totally get that.
They were exiled into the middle of Krakoa. That's not Exiles. That's something else.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was had anything to do with like they needed to use the word Exiles for copyright reasons. And so they were like, fuck, we gotta use this name. Otherwise we're going to lose it for copyright. Okay. Make it Sabretooth and the Exiles, whatever. I don't know if that's how copyright works, but I have heard rumors that every once in a while they have to bring something back into the comics just to keep the copyright. But I could be wrong. Anyone out there in publishing or anything who knows, let me know. But.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, either way, going back to this issue, we are ranting a lot today, guys. Sorry. We told you, we're starting off this new year, a very interesting
thing. But
yeah, I mean, this issue, I mean, I think you really hit it on the head at the start. It felt satisfying, but in a very predictable way, if that makes any sense. I wasn't like, wow, this is amazing, and I can't believe you did this. I was kind of like, okay, like, I wasn't mad at the ending. I wasn't mad at how it turned out or upset or even disappointed. It's just kind of like, all right, this is about what it was. Again, the only thing about the ending that I'm kind of like, I kind of wish they would have dropped a little bit more for us as readers to kind of grab onto is what's next for Kerr. It's very much like, all right. It's almost like the ex-officer's like, we don't know what to do yet, so leave it open, Spurrier, so we can pick which way we want to go. Which, again, I wouldn't be surprised about if they didn't know what they were doing with Kerr until the last fucking second. Which, whatever. But also, why? He can be a great focal point when you use him correctly. But whatever.
I'm going to throw something out to you. What if Kerr disappears for a year? He's not in any of the books, right?
Garbage.
Now, listen. He disappears for a year. He's not in any of the books. Then, and now there's Silver Sable. Both of them are, like, gone, right? Then Wolverine is like, oh, I'm going to Kurt's house. And they're like, Kurt's house? Kurt's been gone for so long. Where does he live? Oh, he's got a place on Long Island. He's, like, raising his kids with Silver Sable. They're, like, having a life now. They're married.
That'd be stupid. And that would be such a fucking cop-out again by Marvel. No!
It's not a real fucking deal.
I fucking can't. No. Because, listen, he only is ever allowed to have a fucking, we've talked about this before, he only is allowed to have a family and happiness in the weirdest fucking circumstances like that, like an AU, but also he's doomed in that AU anyway. Their family's doomed, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh no. My God.
Now you got me mad. Absolutely not.
Whose family is doomed in the AU? What are you talking?
The age of Nightcrawler or whatever? The age of X-Men? The story where he's with Meg?
Oh yeah, that's really sad.
See, listen, I can't fucking win. So no, Marvel, if you're gonna do this with Kurt and Sable, then keep it on the page. Don't run away from it and be like, oh, by the way, they're married now. No, I want to see a relationship grow, cowards.
Okay, excuse you, he has a very happy marriage in Earth 2182, so.
And we never get to see it or hear about it anymore, Lisa. All right, Marvel needs to pick a lane.
Okay, we do. You talk to me enough, you'll hear about it.
I know, but I want to read. I want on the page. I want these cowards to have to put it on the damn page for us.
I totally agree, and I really want Nocturne back, and I don't know why I have to beg so much.
But it's okay, because the good news is that I think this series, while there were several people that didn't enjoy it much, and there are definitely issues I had with it still, I don't think it was as bad as Legion of X, so no. That's a plus. And I think this ending was solid enough that, again, they do have a direction to pick, so hopefully they pick a fun one. I wouldn't mind seeing him be in the spider suit longer, which is weird to say because I feel like that's against my religion as like a humongous X-Men fan. But it worked for him for a little bit. And I would like to see another writer. So
see, I'm a humongous X-Men fan too, but I've always been a Spider-Man fan. And I'm going to be real honest. I've never read the comics. My Spider-Man fandom literally started with the Tobey Maguire movies at the beginning, like in the early 2000s. And I've always been like, I'll always go see a Spider-Man movie. Like, I love Spider-Man in that way. So I don't mind him being in Spider-Man. And I do like that they left that open-ended. Like, he was going to give his mask back and Peter was like, keep it. Like, you know, I like that they left it open-ended and left the opportunity there for him to return as Spider-Man if it comes. What do you think? Do you think that anybody is going to follow up on this Silver Sable thing? Because I really think that that's going to disappear. I think it's going to be just another flash in the pan. I don't think that this is going to become like, this is not going to become his new Amanda.
I mean, I actually kind of have hope that they will. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's because they didn't just completely doom them at the end of this limited series, which also is a thing for Kerr. Oh, wow. Him and Nurse, whatever her name was, can work out. This is great in the 2012 series. And then nope, he dooms himself and he's like, I don't deserve you. I'm out. And it's like, are you kidding me? So I think there's hope, but it will really depend on A, how much editorial really sees the benefit of their relationship in terms of selling books. I'm not sure there is a high benefit that we saw in this, but maybe there is, which would be great for them. And also B, if they care enough about Kurt that along the way of planning out this new X era, they don't just forget about him and the fucking past and then also forget that he had the thing with Sable. So we'll see.
So I'm doing a little bit of background research on Silver Sable, who I really know nothing about except that there was that one Marvel card that made me question my sexuality when I was a kid. And she appears to be a pretty solidly Spider-Man character. So yeah. that is going to create an issue for, I don't know. I'm sure everybody knows, like, the offices at Marvel are divided by property. Right. Yeah. So like you have your X-Men office with all the X-Men books, you have your Spider-Man office. And of course there's crossover here and there, but like they seem to be very, they don't seem to love people playing in each other's sandboxes very often. Again, I'm going way back to like old days when like the guy who was writing, you know, Dr. Strange told Claremont to F off when Claremont wanted to use one of his characters. So like, but again, you know, my only thing about saying, and it has only to do with logistics and nothing to do with storytelling, is because she's such a heavily Spider-Man character, she's definitely probably connected or controlled by the Spider-Man office, and who knows if there will be much crossover with her into the X books outside of this, because I mean, again, Uncanny Spider-Man is a Spider-Man book.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way that would happen is if they continue to have Kurt cross over with the spider peeps like he did in this little series, but if he doesn't, then yeah, it'll be far less likely that him and Sable will still have a thing, or at least a strong consistent thing.
What if it turns out that she's only attracted to Spider-Man, and when he stops being Spider-Man she's like, oh,
that's not canon though. I haven't read a lot of Silver Sable yet, but just from peeps I know that have, that is not canon at all for Sable. Her type is actually very different. Usually her type is she likes the guys that are not good for her, apparently. That's what I've been told.
Wow, like she went way off. Like, here's the thing about Nightcrawler. I feel like there's not a woman or man that exists that he wouldn't be good for, only because like he would make it a goddamn point to be like the best boyfriend / husband / whatever you want to call it. Like, he would make it a point every time.
Yeah, so that's what was interesting as well about, I know, this relationship or whatever for Sable as well, is that it was this, Kurt is way better for her, to my understanding, than literally anyone else she's been with. So,
well, I mean,
She could also just like women too, but maybe I'm just projecting Marvel.
That's true. Here's the other thing. From every bit of storytelling I've ever read in my entire life, the girl never stays with the good guy. They always go back to the bad guy. So it looks like their days are numbered.
I know, but maybe we'll be wrong 2024. Prove us wrong.
See, I actually would like, I would not mind seeing Kurt as a little bit more of a flawed character in a relationship.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think he does have flaws. The problem is, again, we never get to see him long enough on a page in a fucking relationship for us to see his flaws, for him to fuck up.
Well, yes. If I were to liken him to any character as far as what kind of relationship, what he's like in a relationship, I feel like he'd be very like Mr. Peanut Butter from BoJack Horseman, where it's like, right? Like, he's a bit of a man whore. Mr. Peanut Butter's a man whore. And, but also like he is always trying to think of the right thing to do, but I always think about, remember when Mr. Peanut Butter makes that big Beauty and the Beast library for Diane and he thinks it's the right thing. And she's just like, if you would fucking listen to me, you'd know this is not like, even though this is like a fantasy I have, it's not something I fucking want. And I feel like Kurt's the same way, where he would try and overdo it, but he would miss out on like the details from his partner a little bit.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think actually that's a really good choice. I haven't thought about that character a long time because I haven't watched BoJack in years, but.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everybody out there listening has to watch BoJack Horseman if you haven't.
If you can handle it, because it gets dark and fucked up. And if you're not in a safe place to be able to handle it, like.
I'm just saying, for a show about like anthropomorphic animals, it is fucking dark, and it just gets darker by the season. But the problem with that show is that they hook you with how fun it is and light it is in the beginning, and then you're just stuck and you're stuck. But like, yeah. Okay, let's get back to this. Let's wrap it up because we have been going for quite a while at this point. You know, I mean, I'm happy. It is what it is. Let's see where Kurt's going to go in 2024. Yeah. And I think as we wrap it up, what are some of our hopes for 2024? Lauren, you go first. Like in general, don't have to just be about Nightcrawler.
I hope that they give Kurt some spotlight. And it's not just like, okay, he has a book here and he's doing his weird side stories, but really the real issues are like in the other X books. Like, I want him to actually have spotlight, let him lead a team. If Kieran Gillen is still in the X office, let him write Kurt, and Kieran, please be willing to. I'm just saying, you know what you're doing with it. That's what I would like to see. I want him to get more spotlight. I want better consistent characterization. I want him to, as a character, to stop being used just for certain things. Like, oh, we need to get this plot across. Or, hey, now we're editorial and we got our heads out of our asses about two women having a child biologically together. So now we're going to use him to say, look, guys, we're inclusive now. All right, listen, I'm glad they did. Don't get me wrong. But Marvel, he's not just a piece that you play with when you want and then put away. Like, he's important and integral to the entire X books. And look how well he even did in the Spider-Man books. He's integral to the entire Marvel universe. Thank you.
Yes. And I do want to point out this whole women having a baby together. Listen, men. I'm just saying. It's not like we can't figure it out eventually. I'm just saying, guys. So maybe you should be nicer to us, incels. All right? Listen up. I mean, not that incels fucking matter because nobody's fucking them anyway. So yeah, I'll just wrap it up by saying I agree. I would like to see more from Kurt. I'm going to speak more generally, and I'm probably going to get emotional. 2023 was the hardest year I've ever been through in my life, and I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening. I appreciate that you just give us your time. It's kind of crazy to think that people listen to us, right? Us talk about Nightcrawler. It's kind of silly. But it's been a tough year for me, just as far as losing people close to me, losing my security, my job, like so many things have changed, and I'm still getting through, but just want to say thank you to everybody who listens, because this is amazing that we have just a small group of people who kind of tune in with us when we want to talk about Nightcrawler and want to talk to us about it too. And I love it. And I hope 2024, like I said, is better than 2023, because God damn it, it can't possibly be worse. Oh my God. If 2023 is worse, or 2024 is worse than 2023, I fully expect to be Mad Max Thunderdome by next year. Fully expect. And I will be Tina Turner. I will be there in the center being like, bitches come. So anyway, didn't mean to finish that on such a shitty note.
No, we love you, Lisa, and I love you. And I know it's been a horrific year for you, and it's been a tough year for me as well. And that's why it's nice to still have spaces like these where even when shit's really hard and we're like, we can't handle what we're going through, we can't do this, that we still make a point to come back here. And I just want to say thank you to, even when you're going through all this horrific shit, finding a way to make the space to be here with me as well, because this helps me a lot, talking with you, goofing off about Nightcrawler. It keeps me sane, and I've especially been realizing that more the last few weeks between podcasting and even just sitting down to read my damn books. Like, that stuff actually keeps me sane.
Absolutely. So
thank you, and thank you, of course, to everybody listening as well. Trust us, we talk a lot of crazy shit, but we have a lot of big feelings for all the crazy shit we say.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you. And, you know, a lot of this is frivolous, silly stuff. I mean, it's comic books. Who cares? But you know what? It's important to us. And it's important to those of you guys listening. And we appreciate that. Yeah. So, Lauren, real quick, just tell them where they can find you in 2024.
Well, I don't know. Somewhere, probably. Yeah. Maybe ask Kurt where I am. Maybe he can find me. But you can find me. Yeah. On most social media, it's at @FriendlyMBHDBI. You can come bother me. If you want to be in the little Discord I have for my YouTube channel, I can hook you up with that too. It's a nice little safe space to chat with people without all the chaos on the social medias. But other than that, just come find me and let's make this as great a year as we can. We're going to do our best, man. That's all we can do.
Absolutely. You come, yeah, please. And come find us and all of our socials. We are at simplyamazingpod.com. All of our socials are there. It's not our Discord server, but we have the Nightcrawler Discord that we are in as well. And I think that I want to start doing like movie nights and stuff. I've been doing them in other Discords and they're a lot of fun. So we should do some movie nights. Maybe we should watch X-Men Evolution or like fun stuff. I don't know.
I think we should start with X-Men Evolution. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter lately be all like, actually, X-Men Evolution was the best. I'm like, you know what? If that's a trend, fine. We'll hop on the bandwagon. If everybody's back into it again, let's do it.
Girl, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to agree that X-Men Evolution is the best. And the only reason, and here's the thing, this is me saying that when there is an X-Men cartoon that involves Wanda and Kurt together. Yeah. And yet I still think X-Men Evolution is the best. Although it could be just my own bias, because I remember watching it on Saturday mornings. Maybe we should start doing that. Saturday morning cartoons. We'll watch X-Men Evolution every Saturday morning for a couple weeks. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys know what we're going to do. But yeah,
you guys let us know what works for you, because everybody's got different time zones and schedules and shit. We want to make it work for you.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, for those of you out there listening, thank you again so much. Sorry for bringing it down at the end, but you know, we're going to bring it back up and we're going to have a good time. And if you're out there listening and you're thinking to yourself, where's Kurt in 2024? We're thinking the same fucking thing, but don't worry, because you're still simply amazing.